Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 220, is Agrani. Agra means that which is ahead, and ni comes from nayati, which means to take, to lead. So it gives the idea of leading forward. Both Shankaracharya and Parashrabhata explain this name to mean that Agrani means one who leads others forward, and they specifically say toward moksha. Of course, Shankara's idea of moksha is impersonal, and Parashrabhata's idea is attaining service of Sri Narayana in Vaikuntha. The idea is to lead forward, agra, that which is ahead, that which is the ultimate goal of everyone, is conceived of in other sampradayas as moksha. That's not denied in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, but it's seen that even beyond moksha is pure love of Krishna. Satyadeva Vashishta says that this attribute of Vishnu in moving everything forward is constantly demonstrated in terms of time, which is, of course, another aspect of Paramatma, another aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kalosmi. Krishna says, I am time. He moves everything forward as time. Everyone moves forward. No one can go backwards in time. Every living being moves forward. Not only human beings, but great demigods, little bugs, the whole cosmic manifestation, the sun, the moon, everything is moving forward. Kala Chakra, the wheel of time, moving, 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 incessantly. That is Bhagavan Narayana doing all of this. Agrani, leading forward. Daladev Vidyabhushan takes this name and the next five names in relation to Matsya Avatar, the fish avatar. And we may wonder, how does that work? Baladev Vidyabhushan says that Agrani, Matsya Deva, fastening a boat to the horn on his head and placing Manu and others within it, takes the boat with Manu and the others in it to the summit, to the peak, Agra, of the Himalayas. The next name, 221, Gramani. Again, we have ni at the end. Just like we had Agrani. Agrani means one who leads forward. Grama is generally understood to mean a village, but it refers to a collection, an aggregation of everything. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, we have Bhuta Gramam. It means the aggregation of everything in the material world. So Grama means a collection. When we have a collection of several houses, that becomes a village. It's called a gram. It can be several indriyas, the body, the several indriyas, the senses in the body, or the collection of all created beings. The collection of all created beings is Bhuta Gramam. I just said that. So Gramam, Samajam, Nayati, Iti, Gramani. One who leads the group. Here it is taken to mean a group of devotees. devotees who have unconditionally entrusted themselves in his care are led by him to moksha. Again, comes to the same meaning as agrani, but slightly different derivation. He leads us, he helps us out. If we're lost in the forest of samsara, the great forest of material existence, who can help us come out? Relatives, friends, well-wishers, they're also lost in the forest. They can't help us. But we should seek the help of Bhagawan, who alone can lead us from the bondage of samsara. Of course, he generally does that through his representatives, the gurus and sadhus. So leading the devotees out of the forest of material existence to the land where he lives, his gram, Vaikuntha, or we, especially in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, we see the gram, Vrindavan, the village of Vrindavan. I'll get back to that just a little later. Leading to liberation, those who are merged in material existence, he does that by giving knowledge to the ignorant. For those who attain knowledge, he leads them to liberation, and for the liberated souls, he leads them into the condition of pure bliss. Actually, he leads all beings in all their activities. He's always the leader in all respects. He leads the eternally liberated souls and those who have become liberated in the spiritual world. He's Vaikunthanath. He's the leader of the spiritual world. He directs the activities and actions through his energies. He directs the activities and actions of those who are liberated and even those who aren't liberated. He is Hrishikesh. He is the controller of the sense organs. He prompts them and directs them to work. He leads our senses either toward him or away from him. He knows what we want. He's in our hearts. He calls us to come to him. If we do so, then he leads us to himself. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are engaged with love in his service, he gives the knowledge by which he comes to him. And for those who don't want to go to him, he directs their senses so they can go to hell. He's always the leader of the senses. We take our senses for granted, but we don't know how much we are dependent, totally dependent upon Hrishikesha, the master of the senses. I can speak. I just take it for granted that I can speak, but it could be. I had that experience many years ago. I was once singing in kirtan. I was singing loudly in a high voice. All of a sudden, my voice was gone and I couldn't speak for days. He's the head of the senses. We should pray to him as Bilva Mangal Thakur prayed to Gopal. Gopal means the protector of the cows, and go also means senses. So Bilva Mangal Thakur prayed to Gopal, just as you don't allow any cow to stray away or be lost, so you also direct my go, my senses, so that I'm not lost, I'm not away from you. My senses are wild. They tend to stray. You take them under control. Another way this can be understood, Gramini, is he's the leader of the village. So just like in Madhva Sampradaya, they worship demigods, but not exactly. They will undertake worship of demigods, but with the understanding that the power invested in the demigod is by their antaryami, the indwelling supersoul Vishnu. So they don't actually worship demigods, although it appears that they might do, but they worship Vishnu within a demigod. So in the same way, those who are heads of villages or towns, he directs them in their activities. Actually, he directs everyone, but we're specifically talking about Gramini, the heads of state, everyone. He resides in their hearts and in their heads, the heads of villages and towns, and directs them. This point about him being the head, he leads all living beings. As we find in Bhagavad Gita, we get different bodies according to our activities and inclinations. And once we're in a certain kind of body, we have to act according to the basic template given according to that body. A dog not only looks like a dog and barks like a dog, but acts like a dog, thinks like a dog, has a doggish personality. A snake, are you ever going to find a snake that doesn't act like a snake? Well, there was one who was tamed by Narad Muni. That's exceptional. Otherwise, don't make friends with snakes. Snakes are always dangerous. They have that envious nature. So, different kinds of crops. You plant different seeds and you get different kinds of crops. This is all regulated by Vishnu. He regulates all the different kinds of entities and coordinates them all together. So in this way, he's Gramani, just like the head of a village coordinates and sees that everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing. So Vishnu does that in a much more complex and massive manner. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning, again in terms of Matsya Avatar, that he's the leader of the group Grama. He carries them. Nayati can mean carries. He carries the group of personalities, beginning with Mano, in a boat and performs this pastime with them. This idea of being a leader of the village, we can extrapolate this to Krishna in Vrindavan. Actually, Nanda Maharaj is the leader of the village, but in another way, Krishna is the leader. Inasmuch as in Vrindavan, Krishna is the cynosure of all eyes. Everyone is centered around Krishna. So in that sense, Krishna is the leader, and he's the exceptional personality in Vrindavan. All his devotees in Vrindavan are on the same level of spiritual bliss as himself, but it's definitely Krishna who's very special and the center of everything and doing amazing activities which none others can do. From the very beginning, that poison that Putana brought, that poison was so toxic it could destroy the whole universe, but Krishna understood that. He was always the leader. He was always Bhagavan, even when on the lap of his mother, and he understood this witch has come to kill me. And he killed her by sucking out her life air. He became the leader of all living beings by performing amazing activities, one after the other, protecting the inhabitants of Vrindavan, such that Krishna's devotees came to expect his protection from even the most terrifying situations. When Krishna's cowherd boyfriends saw Aghasura lying in the path with his mouth open, so high up to the clouds, with his fangs so high, taller than a building. You can go in pretty much any big city in the world nowadays and see big, high buildings. Of course, in some places, due to earthquake fears or whatever, they don't build very high. But still, if we see, for instance, a 20-story building, which isn't very high at all, definitely not by American standards, then we look up, it looks very high. It's high enough to kill yourself by jumping off, favorite Japanese way of suicide. The buildings there aren't so tall, they have earthquake fears there. But anyway, I'm just saying this to give an idea how big are the fangs of Aghasura. If you go, Dubai is the tallest building in the world at the present time. You can go and stand below it and look up. I remember looking up at one of the twin towers at the World Trade Center before someone decided that it was better to not be there rather than be there. And looking up, and you get giddy, just looking so high, and Aghasura's fangs bigger than that. But Krishna's cowherd boyfriends had become so accustomed to Krishna protecting them. That's one of the main duties of a leader, Kshatriya. He leads, he protects the citizens. So Krishna was the leader of the citizens, the residents of Vrindavan, and they just walked, the boys just walked into the mouth of Aghasura, expecting Krishna's protection. Again, there was a forest fire, and all the residents of Vrindavan called to Krishna, protect them. They didn't call to Nanda Maharaj, they called to Krishna. Nanda Maharaj himself, when he was swallowed by the massive snake who Krishna liberated, and was seen to be Sudarshan, the Gandharva, and Nanda Maharaj called out to Krishna, "Krishna, Krishna, save me." Krishna, even as a young boy, he politely challenged his father and said, "What are you doing arranging this worship of Indra? You should worship Govardhan." And practically he became the leader in Vrindavan by convincing Nanda Maharaj to follow Krishna's advice. Krishna is just surprising, a very small boy, and a major religious event organized traditionally, and Krishna, just in a few minutes, just a small boy, convinces Nanda Maharaj to completely change that. Their affection for Krishna was so great. He led them on the path of love. Another example, Krishna was having a very pleasant exchange with Kaliya. Of course, Kaliya wasn't feeling very happy, but for Krishna it was a very nice ride with Kaliya coiling around Krishna's body and moving Krishna's body up and down within and outside the water, and then Krishna later was dancing on the coils of Kaliya, and Krishna was really enjoying himself. And in this way, he was seen to be the leader of the residents of Vrindavan, in as much as everyone came out to see. Even the young girls, the gopis, who shouldn't have been that much concerned about him, but they also came. It became revealed to everyone how much Krishna meant to them. They were all on the brink of death. They thought Krishna was on the brink of death, but they became on the brink of death because they thought that Krishna was on the brink of death. Then again, getting back to that Govardhan Leela, Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, it's stated just like a small child holding aloft a mushroom. But what was the magnanimity of the event? We just had the name Udara Dhihi. That's two names ago. Krishna of very broad and liberal mentality. So Krishna, in his broad and liberal mentality, coordinated a pastime by which he very liberally gave his associate, very intelligently, Krishna coordinated all of this through his yoga maya potency, very intelligently coordinated all of this so that he could liberally give his association without any restriction to all the residents of Vrindavan for 7 days nonstop. Those living in the village, the gopis, and most of the residents of the village, except the cowherd boys with whom Krishna went out from the village to the pastures, most of them felt pained in heart when Krishna would leave the village of Vrindavan. The whole day would go, he'd be out in the forest, and the gopis, the young girls, they were very distraught. They were so restricted from seeing him. But Krishna, with his liberality in giving his association, his very broad intelligence, orchestrated this pastime whereby they could simply be with him and look at him without any restriction for 7 days nonstop. And he also showed that he's the leader. Leaders should not be just any ordinary person. There might be some idea that, well, we want to be equal to everyone, so let's select the next president of the United States just by selecting anyone. Why have just two or three candidates? Just select randomly, just like a lottery, anyone. But you just can't put anyone to be the president of the United States, or even the mayor of a small town. Leadership takes special qualities. And what to speak of being the leader of all living beings, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One thing the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be distinguished by, if he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which Krishna very definitely is that he has immeasurable strength which he exercises without any difficulty. And he showed that by holding up Govardhan Hill on the little finger of his left hand for 7 days, perfectly balanced. If I had to lift up even one rock on Govardhan Hill, anything bigger than twice the size of my hand, that would be an effort. And if it's this big, like that, I couldn't lift it. Maybe there are some people strong enough they could lift one rock from Govardhan, not a big rock. For that you need a crane. Just one stone on Govardhan Hill, we can't imagine lifting. But Krishna lifted the whole hill, which is much bigger than the Govardhan Hill we presently see. And that's just a tiny manifestation of his unlimited strength. But the residents of Vrindavan were fascinated by his beauty more than his strength. In Vrindavan, he is the leader in love more than in the amazing things he does. He does so many amazing things, but it's almost as if the residents of Vrindavan don't take that so very seriously because they're so much in love with him. The land of Vrindavan is the land of love, and Krishna is the leader in love. Everyone is simply full of love for him. So that's a bit of an extrapolation, you could say, but let us think of Krishna, the leader of all. The lovers of Krishna in Vrindavan, they're so much in love with Krishna, they don't even recognize he's the leader of all living beings. That's the best way to lead. And similarly, in this material world, if one can lead with love, that is better than leading by force. Of course, we need strong leaders, kshatriyas, who can exercise force if needed, but especially in devotee society, remembering the example of Krishna himself, Krishna in Vrindavan especially, the leadership should be love, leadership by love, rather than by rules and regulations. And again, rules and regulations are needed because we don't have pure love, therefore rules are needed. And even if we do have pure love, we still need some rules and regulations so that society can be conducted. So Krishna gives the rules and regulations, how to live in human society. He gives that through the revealed scriptures. He gives the rules and regulations, how we can come out of this material world, out of this grama, out of this collection of different bodies in different elements in this material world, and join him in the village, the grama of Vrindavan, where he is eternally the leader of love. Vanchakalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya.